Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another PC Boys podcast. This is your boy, Logan. I hope you're all having a fantastic day today. But before we get started, as per usual, I will have the link tree in the description below. Please do click on it to go follow our Twitter and Instagram, which is where we post the most often whenever we upload a new podcast, new posters and stuff come out, as well as click on the Discord invite link as well while you're in the link tree to join the Discord. And of course, once you're in the Discord, you can talk with people that watch both the main podcast and the Rumble podcast, which there are two designated channels for both of those, as well as just keep up to date and stuff. Most of the time, what I put on Twitter, I also put in the Discord as well. But, of course, in the Discord, there's more interactiveness that I can do with you guys. And then, of course, just follow the Instagram whenever you want updates and whenever a new episode and stuff comes out. If you're listening to this on YouTube, please do like and subscribe on the new episode. And if you're listening to this on audio, you know, give us a follow and maybe a review if you feel like it. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big episode ahead of us today. So recently on my Twitter and in the Discord, I announced that I was going to be doing this podcast. And I announced I'd be talking about the Thunderbolts, Madam Web's box office, as well as talking about, I believe, Marvel Zombies I added on there. But also, we're going to be talking about a little bit of the Fantastic Four. But before we, jump into all that, been doing a lot of research on this stuff. A lot of Spider-Man stuff is happening as well between, Sony and Disney. And it's a real clusterfuck. So I'm waiting to get more confirmed information on that before I go into Spider-Man stuff again. But I just want to throw that out there before we get started. But so, first off, we're going to start off with the Fantastic Four, which on Valentine's Day, they out of nowhere dropped a brand new poster and confirming the whole entire cast that we have for the Fantastic Four. We have Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, which I'm very iffy on that casting. I don't know why they didn't keep John Krasinski. That would have been the best option, in my opinion. John did a pretty good job in Doctor Strange Multiverse Madness. Granted, he wasn't given a lot, but I think they should have just went with him again, but it is what it is. They also added on Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things fame. For those of you that don't know, he played Annie Munson, and he will be playing Johnny Storm in this. And then The Thing is being played by a guy, I think his name was like Barack or something like that. I'm not even going to try to butcher his name. But you guys can, of course, look it up if you want to on Google. And then I believe this robot's name is Hobie, if I remember correctly. I was never a big Fantastic Four fan of the comics. I know, crazy, right? But I think that the name of this robot is Hobie, but I could be wrong. Now, the major thing to take away from this, outside of the cast, of course, is the fact that this is in the 60s. If you take a look, of course, you know, back here we have, you know, the old, like, good old Space Race 60s space poster. But if you look very closely to the Life magazine that Ben Grimm is holding, on the front here, this is a Life magazine with Lyndon B. Johnson taking office after the assassination of JFK. So this movie's going to be in the 60s, and this also confirms a line that Doctor Strange said in the Multiverse of Madness where he's like, didn't you guys chart in the 60s? So the Fantastic Four will be existing in the 60s in the MCU canon, and I'm very interested, though, how they're going to connect this to modern-day MCU, because if this takes place in the 60s, where have the Fantastic Four been since the rest of the MCU? Because they haven't been mentioned, nobody's brought them up. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they bring the Fantastic Four into the modern setting. But that's really all we got for Fantastic Four. It was a big drop, it was some big news, and this is also coming out in July of 2025. That release date might change. Right now we're hearing reports that Sony wants to put Spider-Man out in July, Spider-Man 4 to be specific. So there's a lot of discussion as to Spider-Man maybe coming out, Marvel wants to put Spider-Man out in July. Sony wants to put the new Marvel Spider-Man out in December because they saw a lot of success with No Way Home. So we don't know what's happening with Spider-Man, but that may or may not change the Fantastic Four's release date. But originally, the Thunderbolts were supposed to come out next July, and we'll be talking about the Thunderbolts getting moved up, and how my least likely prediction as to what they were doing with the Thunderbolts was proven wrong slash kind of right when I predicted it in the last podcast. I think it was the last podcast, but we'll talk about that when we get there. But moving on, X-Men 97 is coming to Disney Plus on March 20th. So X-Men 97 is essentially picking up to where the original 90s show left off, where Charles Xavier died and stuff, and Magneto takes over the X-Men. So that's essentially where X-Men 97 is, you know, picking up from and going with. They released a trailer for it as well, and it looks pretty good. You can tell it's a little bit different than the old animation style, obviously. And they've returned a lot of voice actors outside of, I think, a few, because I think a few either passed away or didn't want to do it. And some people are like, oh, the voices sound different, like Wolverine's, for instance. But obviously, you know, Wolverine's voice sounds different because the voice actor got older. But overall, it looks pretty promising. There is some, I guess, you know, controversy around one of the characters being like non-binary or something. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. It's not a very well-known character. I don't remember his name. Or its name, whatever, until we get to the series. I won't remember. It's one of those, like, mutants that, back in the comics, went by a few different aliases, depending on the universes and stuff, but that, I guess, mutants in this series, and we'll see what happens. But I'm hoping, obviously, there's no woke bullshit, but it's Disney, so it's about a 50-50 chance of getting a good project or a terrible project. But we'll see. X-Men 97, though, overall looks good. I don't got anything bad to say about it as of right now. But we'll see what happens. Now, we're going to be getting to Madam Web's box office. So, ladies and gentlemen, going to box office mojo here. Madam Web has only made $51 million worldwide. Now, if we're talking about the United States alone, opening weekend, it's only made $26 million, a little over 26, you know, $200,000, right? $26 million, little over 200,000. But that's still bad, because that's way lower than Morbius, which originally held the lowest box office for a Sony Marvel movie. And internationally, Madam Web made even less, with only about $25 million. On the higher $25 million end. So, as of right now, they've only made about almost $52 million. And the Madam Web box, or the budget for the movie is apparent. Like, originally it was estimated to be, I think, $80 million for Madam Web. Well, according to new reports, Madam Web was over $100 million to make. A little over $100 million. So, it could be anywhere from, like, $110, $120 million. But that's still bad. Because they haven't even made back, what, half the budget for just the film itself? That's not even including marketing budget. They would probably have to make a little over $200 million to make a profit on this movie. And they're not even halfway to breaking their production budget. That's pretty fucking terrible. That's really bad. Like, I know a while ago we talked about the Marvels being bad. I actually watched the Marvels today. I thought the movie was quite a stark improvement from the very first Captain Marvel. I actually felt something for her, you know, character, and it was, it actually wasn't too bad. I'd probably give it a 6 or so. But Captain Marvel was leaps and bounds better than, the Madam Web, according to what I've been hearing. At least, you know, the Marvels was kind of fun, in some instances, especially because of, Iman Vellani. She fucking killed it in that movie, as I expected. But yeah, for Madam Web, they're not even halfway to making their production budget, and on top of that, adding on, like I said, the marketing costs, they're probably not gonna make a damn profit on this movie. They're probably gonna lose a lot of fucking money on this film. And this movie was advertised so falsely, too. It was all based around the Spider-Women, and they're only in the movie for, like, 3 minutes, I hear. I will watch Madam Web when it comes out on either streaming or Blu-ray, and I'll buy it and fucking watch it. I mean, I own Morbius because, you know, I gotta own everything Spider-Man, no matter how fucking bad it is. But if we take a look at the, you know, it started on Wednesday, how it went. Wednesday, it raked in about a little over $6 million. Little over, or in the low $2 million Thursday, low $4 million Friday. Saturday was its biggest day, in the low $6 million. Sunday went back down to the upper $4 million, and then upper $2 million back again on Monday. It's not making much money. to say the least. Like, Madam Web might be out of theaters within 3 weeks. That's how bad it's performing. And just so you guys understand how bad this movie is, let's go take a look at Morbius, the second worst Sony Spider-Man movie now. So on opening weekend for Morbius, we had a grand total, hold up here, by the end of the first weekend, it made about $39 million. So at the end of the weekend, $39 million in contrast, and I believe that was in the U.S., it was $39 million, in contrast to Madam Web's $26 million. That's pretty bad. That's really fucking bad. And like I said, that's just talking domestically speaking. So, at the end of Morbius's run, it did make $167 million, which is not good. Definitely did better overseas. Madam Web is doing worse overseas than domestically, I mean, by slight margins. But at least Morbius can say it made money. Well, technically it didn't because it lost money. But it made more money than Madam Web. Right? And that's the shocking thing here is the fact that Morbius, which I would say there's less content to make Morbius on than to make a movie on any of the Spider-Women, especially Sydney Sweeney's version of the character in the comics. They could definitely make a shit ton of money off of a movie on her alone. Which it's crazy to me the disservice that they did when it came to the Spider-Woman and Madam Web. Like, you had it set up. You have three decent-looking women playing Spider-Woman. You had decent-looking suits. And you just didn't put them in the movie. You didn't utilize them at all. So, yeah, the fact that Morbius beat Madam Web is pretty bad. Because, like, I don't even think Madam Web will break 100... million by the end of next weekend. I mean, it might take it a few weekends to even beat 100 million. So while Morbius was really bad, Madam Web is a lot worse. And like I said, it's really, really unfortunate because, you know, you have three Spider-Women in this movie, including Madam Web herself, that you could have done, an amazing superhero movie on. But they didn't. And you had Sydney Sweeney, of all people. Like, dude, it was an easy fucking home run, right? Like, Julia Carpenter's Spider-Woman, and you literally couldn't, like, capitalize on that. Just her Spider-Woman alone. I'm not even talking about the other two. Just on her Spider-Woman alone. It really frustrates me, because I want the Sony Spider-Man movies to be good. But Sony's only doing this because they need to make a Spider-Man movie, like, in an X amount of years, or else they lose the rights and they go back to Marvel. So they're just pumping out Spider-Man movies just to keep a hold of those rights. But that is all I really have to say about Madam Web. It's performing very abysmally at the box office, a lot worse than people thought. Like I said, here in the States, it's only grossing low $26 million. That's fucking terrible compared to Morbius, which at least got almost $40 million opening weekend. So it made pretty much double what Madam Web did in opening weekend. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's really, really, really bad. But, moving on to some more positive news, outside of those few things, Marvel Zombies has finally been confirmed to be TVMA. Now, for those of you that maybe don't know this, I am a big fan of the Marvel Zombie comics. These, if I'm correct, came out around the time when they were doing the Walking Dead graphic novels and stuff, and Marvel, I think at the time, got somebody that worked on The Walking Dead graphic novels, and they made Marvel Zombies. And Marvel Zombies is fucking fantastic. Like, it's gory, it's brutal, and on top of all of that, you literally, like, they're not stupid zombies, right? Like, they essentially are consumed by this thing called the hunger, and they have to consume flesh, but they can think, right? Like, they can talk, and they can think like human beings, but they have to eat people to regain, like, their humanity, if you will, or, like, their consciousness. So when the hunger takes over, they're, like, ravenous, like a normal zombie would be, but they have superpowers. But once they consume, people, then that's when, like, their, morality and, like, their thinking, you know, comes back into play, and they're more human-like in that state. But yeah, it's very interesting. The comics are very dark, but I fucking love them. I always like it when Marvel does like these stories off in like their own corner of the Marvel universe that doesn't, you know, directly affect everything else. And I'm glad that Marvel Zombies is going to be doing a rated TVMA show. So I'm very, very happy about that. This is honestly one of the best things Marvel could do, because trying to do Marvel Zombies PG-13 obviously wasn't work. And now that we're starting to get more Marvel rated R or TVMA projects, I think we'll start to see more of an increase on this, but I think Marvel Zombies could also be very, very good. I think it could be recepted very well. I'm just very curious as to what the zombie story is going to be. Like, we got a zombies, episode in What If, but I don't know if they're going to continue off of that and play in that world, or if they're going to create a whole separate universe that is, like, you know, starting a story from scratch. I don't know about that. That much I don't know. But ultimately, they're apparently going to go, like, very bloody and gory with this series, which I'm looking very forward to. I think that that's the best thing that they could do. But ultimately, like I said, jury's still out. Going to have to wait and see how they capitalize on this and, how this goes. Moving on to the last major topic that I need to talk about. The Thunderbolts, and the fact that their release date had been bumped up to May. So, remember, I think it was last podcast, but it could have been two podcasts ago, I was talking about the fact that the Thunderbolts had been removed from Disney's release schedule slate, and they, when that happened, I was like, well, there's three things that they could be doing. The two things that I thought were more likely is they either canceled the movie, or that they, you know, delayed it. Which I was thinking they probably delayed it because they've been delaying a lot of stuff at Marvel anyways. But it turns out they did the third thing that I guess they possibly could do, but I thought it was the least likely option, and that was to move the date forward. So the Thunderbolts is now coming out in May of next year, and the Fantastic Four have taken the release date of the Thunderbolts. So as of right now, that's what's playing out. The Thunderbolts gets moved up, and then the Fantastic Four comes in and takes the July slot. I'm very still interested to see what they're going to do about the Thunderbolts. The Thunderbolts has been one of those movies kind of in production hell, a lot like Captain America 4 is in production hell right now. You basically have these movies where they're, you know, taking characters out, putting characters in. With Captain America 4 right now, outside of the, Israeli superhero character that I was talking about in the last episode, they're playing around with the Hulk stuff. There's a lot of Hulk stuff apparently supposed to be in Captain America Brave New World, but it sounds like that they're taking a lot of stuff out of it now. So Captain America 4 is, you know, having all that situation going on. And then with the Thunderbolts, there's been a lot of playing around with the roster. I know that they originally had Ghost in it, but I think they might have taken Ghost out of it now. So the Thunderbolts is going to be a very interesting film. It's going to be like the Suicide Squad of the Marvel Universe, although the entire team is not villain-based. There are, you know, you got Red Guardian in there. You have, U.S. Agent, who I wouldn't really say is a villain. You have Yelena. You have also Taskmaster. I want them to do Taskmaster right, but I doubt they're going to do that. They'll probably just have Dracov's daughter fucking return and play Taskmaster, which hopefully not. Hopefully we get Tony Masters, but, you know, we'll wait and see. And then, of course, Bucky Barnes. So, you know, there's not really a lot of villains, per se. Like, I think Ghost and Taskmaster were the only two original, like, villains of the series on the team, because I don't consider U.S. Agent really to be a villain. I mean, he's definitely an opposing force to Captain America, but I wouldn't say he's a villain. But yeah, so ultimately with the Thunderbolts, I'm a little bit, you know, confused as to what it is that the Thunderbolts are doing. I think that they're going after, like, Super Soldier Serum and stuff like that, and, you know, playing around with that side, I guess. But we'll have to wait and see. Now, obviously the reason I haven't been, like, so up to date on the Thunderbolts is because there's a lot of other projects I have, like, my eyes glued to them. Obviously Daredevil Born Again, Spider-Man 4, because it's an absolute development hell. Obviously we had Madame Web, Kraven, Venom 3, and Deadpool 3. So there's a lot of projects that are more prevalent on my mind right now that are coming out this year, as opposed to thinking about a movie coming out next year in the beginning of the summer months. But I really do hope that the Thunderbolts is something interesting. I really, really hope that it's something good. But we'll just have to wait and see. I hope they do Taskmaster right. Which, for those of you that don't know, Taskmaster's my favorite Marvel Comics villain of all time. And I know it's crazy because I'm a Spider-Man fan. Don't get me wrong. I love Venom. I love Green Goblin. I love Doc Ock. Love Scorpion. Like, I love all of Spider-Man's rogue gallery, okay? Green Goblin and Venom among, you know, the top. Even though Venom I would also put in the category of anti-heroes. But I've always liked Taskmaster. I don't know why. I remember when I was younger, I read the Taskmaster Unthinkable comic, where essentially every time he remembered or mimicked somebody's fight move, like, he would get amnesia and just completely forget who he is and what his past was. And his wife, the Org, sent a bunch of his, like, henchmen that he trained from, like, Hydra and AIM and stuff after him. And essentially led him to, like, this, you know, Nazi colony out in the middle of Central America. And, there he was, confronted by, I forgot what the fuck his name was. But it was, like, some big Russian dude with, like, some red uniform on. And he had to fight him and remember his fight move. And then he forgot his wife and ran off. But I've loved Taskmaster. I've always loved Taskmaster. The fact that he can just mimic people's fight moves and basically be every Avenger minus their superpowers, I still think it's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm really hoping that, you know, Thunderbolts turns out to be something great. But like I said, we'll just have to wait and see. But overall, guys, that's really all I wanted to talk about. I guess I had a lot of topics to talk about. They just weren't long when it came to be talking about. Now, one thing I do have to say, though, with Madame Web is, like I said, I do think it will eventually get around 100 million. I don't know if it'll break it or not. I mean, it'll take him probably more than one weekend. Like, if they do make it to 100 million, it's probably going to take them a few weekends. I'd be very shocked if they made it to $100 million next week, but I doubt that that's going to happen, especially at the rate that they are now. Like, the highest day they had was, like, 6 million. Even if that's on the high end, 7 million, right? Like, that's pretty fucking bad. And it came in on, like, the low end of expectations for, you know, the U.S. So, it's pretty sad shit, but we'll see what happens with Madame Web. We'll be tracking it the next few weeks and, you know, discussing if it gets any better, which I doubt, or worse, which is more likely. But hopefully, you know, we also get some more good news going forward. As I said, you know, I'm excited for Twisters, so I'll definitely be talking about Twisters the closer we get. I mean, that movie, there's not really much to speculate on with that one. It's like, okay, well, they're going to be chasing Twisters and probably try to destroy a tornado like they said in the trailer. Like, there's not really much to theorize on. But when it comes to, you know, Kraven and Venom 3, which we'll probably get a trailer for right around the summertime, I would probably say May-ish or so, we'll probably get our first trailer, at least, to look at the film. And if not in May, July, probably, by July, I would have to think. I mean, if the movie's coming out in October, which I think is when the release date is, either October or November, we should have something by May, July, somewhere in there. We should be having a trailer. But overall, you know, I got quite a few movies coming up that I can, you know, actually do deep dives into. I think Kraven's even now, like, it's just its own thing. It's not connected to anything, which I don't know why the fuck Sony's just like, oh yeah, let's make all these Spider-Man spinoff movies, but they're connected to nothing. Like, that's so stupid. But with the Spider-Man news, all that we know right now is kind of the same thing as I said last time. Like, Marvel and Sony are fighting over what direction to take the character in. Sony wants to do a multiverse movie with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield returning. And Marvel Studios wants to do a ground-level Spider-Man movie where he teams up with Daredevil and fights against Kingpin and, you know, just being a street-level friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, which is the, you know, the way I want them to go. I personally want the Marvel Studios, like, ground-level, you know, story. I understand why a lot of people would want the multiverse stuff to see Toby and Andrew again, but by them doing that, them showing up in Secret Wars will have less meaning and it won't be as big of an impact. And on top of that, you know, it would undo everything No Way Home did. And it would be too soon, in my opinion. Like, you set Spider-Man up to be on his own in the MCU with people forgetting him and stuff. And I like that, you know? We're giving Spider-Man a very good, compelling story. I don't know why we would want to backtrack on that. But we'll have to wait and see. Marvel and Sony are also fighting currently on the state of, you know, when they want to release Spider-Man, like I mentioned earlier. Sony wants to do it in December again because they saw a lot of success with No Way Home around Christmas time, and Marvel wants to do it in the summertime like they originally did with the first two Spider-Man movies in the MCU. But like I said, as time goes on here, we'll have to see what happens with Marvel and Sony. But there is one other thing that I want to mention before I end the podcast today. So from this point going forward, Sony will now be taking on the physical media production of Marvel and Disney's catalogs. So Disney is no longer making hard physical media or hard copy physical media. All that is now on Sony Home Entertainment. So Sony will be the ones making physical media copies of Disney properties. So essentially, when Marvel Studios makes a movie and it comes out on hard copy, Sony will be the ones making the hard copies, not Disney. And Disney's, you know, been trying to go away from making, you know, physical media for a while now. Even when you look at the special features in any Disney-released Marvel film, Star Wars film, you name it, they're getting smaller, smaller, and smaller. With Sony doing it, there is a possibility of there being more special content. The menus will definitely be different. You know, like the box art and all that stuff will be very different. And you know, Disney was very reluctant to even put Disney Plus series out on physical media. Like, recently, within the past few months, we got Loki, we got WandaVision, you could buy, you know, the whole first season, and The Mandalorian as well, seasons 1 and 2. You could buy all four of those different Disney Plus shows in a steelbook, hard copy, with some, like, art cards and stuff like that, and it was $40 a season. And although it took Disney a while to come out with that physical media, I'd rather have it out there than not. And we know physical media is dying. We know Walmart is starting to remove all physical media when it comes to video games, especially for Xbox and stuff. And we know that, you know, Target and other places are doing it for movies. So eventually, physical media will be weeded out of major retail stores and probably eventually just won't exist outright unless you, like, go online and buy it off eBay or something, which is really unfortunate when you think about it, because I love physical media, most people love physical media, and you can't tamper with physical media. Like, when you buy a disc, the, you know, company or the corporation can't go into the digital file and edit stuff. And that's the thing with, you know, streaming services that suck. Like, number one, you can't own the film, and you have to have internet, so there's, like, a bunch of stipulations you have to meet just to watch the series. And even if you can watch the series, at any point in time, if they want to go in and remove something out of a series on, or in an episode, they can do it whenever they want. They want to remove blood from an episode, they can go do it. They want to remove words or scenes from an episode, they can go and do it whenever they want. They can change things in real time. So that's why I'm a big, you know, pro physical media guy. But I thought I would just throw that in at the end there for, you know, anybody that really cares about physical media. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all I have for you in this podcast. I hope you all enjoyed. You know, next time we talk, I'm hoping that there'll be a lot more stuff that comes out that I can talk about. Hopefully some more Spider-Man stuff, like concrete stuff. But yeah. And for those of you that do bounce between this and my Rumble channel, I'll be very honest with you guys, Rumble-wise, I don't know when I'm going to be doing a podcast for that next, and what I'll be talking about. I know I can't do video reactions or anything like that because my OBS will freeze on me, and then, you know, the recording pretty much gets wasted and all that time gets wasted. So until I upgrade my PC, I can't do video reactions like I originally wanted to do, but I will be sure to come up with something interesting or fun to talk about for those of you that do, like I say, bounce between this channel and the Rumble. But that is all I have to say. Thank you very much for watching. Hope you all enjoyed, and I'll catch you all in the next one.